Great being with you all today. This is the Sunday before the 31st of October, which makes it Reformation Sunday. And so, you know, there has been there was a great reformation into God's grace, you know, and as a result of what Martin Luther discovered, that we were saved by grace and that Christ was the end of the law for righteousness for everyone that believeth. And all those wonderful truths that came out. And there's been a huge reformation, you know, as a result. The Protestant church came out of all that. But, you know, we haven't yet gotten to the third verse of this song that we sang. The Christian church hasn't gotten to the gift of Holy Spirit is ours. In our Methodist and Presbyterian and other churches, why don't they have manifestations of Holy Spirit? When they got saved, they got born again of God's Spirit. There hasn't yet been a reformation in the Holy Spirit field. There hasn't been a reformation in this area of God's power shed forth. And that's where we need to go. We need to get to the third verse of this song. This was like their marching orders. You know, this was the song that just inspired so much of the believing and so forth during that time, and still does today. But we've got to get to the third verse of that song. The gift of Holy Spirit is ours. Take your Bibles, please, and go to, let's see, I already quoted the things I was going to, first couple things I was going to look up. But let's go to Acts chapter 19. This is the question we need to ask our believer friends. This is the question that needs to come forth when we meet other Christians. In Acts 19, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, since you believed?" And this word for received is the word lambano. Have you received in manifestation the gift of Holy Spirit since you believed? And that's a question we need to ask our believer friends. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Well, it's right in here. It's the third verse of the Song of the Reformation. You know, but really, just think about that. So many Christians that don't recognize that they have God and Christ in them, the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside. And without that, they are still somewhat powerless. They pray and they have great believing, and they still get the benefits of the Holy Spirit, because when they pray, they have signs, miracles, and wonders, but they don't have the fullness of what could be available if they were building themselves up spiritually, which speaking in tongues allows for. Speaking in tongues, one of the great things about it is it builds you up spiritually. Makes you big and fat or strong or however you want to say it, spiritually. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. The whole Christian church agrees that the Christian church started on the day of Pentecost. Then why don't they do what the believers did on the day of Pentecost? Why? Because they don't know it's available. it has been so queered by the adversary that people think if you speak in tongues, you're from the adversary instead of from the true God. What? That's well, it's just, well, look what the adversary did with October 31st. October 31st, the beginning of the great reformation of the Christian church, he turned it into Halloween, where you celebrate goblins and witches and all that other crap. Can you believe that? But so why should we be surprised that he's robbed us also from the great manifestation of speaking in tongues, which builds you up spiritually? Oh, well. I'm preaching to the choir, aren't I? This is so great. It's so great to have the choir present today. You sounded like a choir during that singing. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, as of a heavy breathing." Jesus Christ had instructed them that when they received the Holy Spirit, they were to breathe in. And you breathe in before you speak. And then they spoke, and this is what happened. The rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. They were sitting in the posture of prayer in the temple. The house was the house of God, the temple, on the day of Pentecost, and they were decent and in order. They weren't jumping around like frogs or rolling on the in the aisles or swinging from the chandeliers or any other stuff that has been associated by great devilish introduction with speaking in tongues. That is so wrong. It is so wrong. It's absolutely wrong. They were seated in a posture of prayer. Verse 3, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit," Holy Ghost. "And what did they do? And began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." God told them what to say. God gave them, just like when we speak in tongues. We move our lips, our tongue, our throat. We're not possessed. God doesn't make us speak. But as we speak, God gives us the sounds and the ways of speaking that we, and so we speak in tongues. Do we know what we're saying? No and yes. We know because it says it in the Bible. It tells us speaking in tongues is prayer and praise to God. Speaking in tongues is speaking the wonderful works of God. Speaking in tongues can be interpreted in a believer's meeting, like in our meeting today. Tongues with interpretation, you know, and should be part of the assembly of the believers. And why isn't it? Well, we have a mortal, immortal foe or whatever. We got this adversary that wants to talk people out of the greatness of the power of God. Talk people out of the fullness of what God has made available. I'm sorry I got upset up here. But, you know, I mean, I just get wound up about this stuff because just think about it. The adversary is robbing us. He's the thief. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants to steal away from us God's power. He wants to steal away from us the things that Jesus Christ laid down his life so we could have. Anyway. Well, chapter 3 of Acts. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, which they laid daily." How often?
Daily.
Daily. And he was lame from when? His mother's womb. He had never walked. Never walked. You know, when, you know, I don't know a whole lot about the mechanics of walking. It's an amazing thing that we can stand upright, keep our balance, and walk. But before a baby walks, that baby crawls and scoots, and all that stuff is getting the baby ready to stand up and walk. And, you know, that when you first start walking, like our Ruby in here, when she first started walking, we still have this coffee table that she'd put her hands on and she'd go around the table and all that whole process. We're going to see this guy didn't go through that process at all. He had never walked, lame from his mother's womb. But let's look further into this. Let's see. They laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Asking alms in the East, there were two reasons. One was because you were poor, and the other was because you wanted to receive something from God. This is what he wanted, to receive something from God. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And this receive is lambano also, which means receive into manifestation. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Wait a minute. This guy was lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked. He had never walked. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, these people had gone by this guy at the temple gate day after day after day after day. He was daily brought there. Daily. And they had seen him there at the temple gate. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he that sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now, you know, over the years I've learned things about the physical body. And there are these things, there are these cells that are in the body. What are they called?
Cells?
No, the ones that can be anything.
Mitochondria?
Stem cells. Yeah, there's stem cells in the body. They're already there.
Julie.
What? Science teacher. Okay. Stem cells are already in the body. And those stem cells can be whatever your body needs. And so when they prayed for him, and when they told him then to stand up and walk, instantly God put those stem cells to work to strengthen his ankle bones and his legs, the bone, whatever needed to be done. We don't know what needed to be done. We don't know how it was done, except that in his body were those stem cells that could be whatever he needed to have, and God made those to be what he needed to have, and he was able to get up and walk and leap and praise God. That is there's tremendous power in that. There's tremendous power in that. Look at... Look at chapter 4 of Acts. We'll just take a little. There's some records in here of some wonderful healings in the book of Acts, but those weren't the only ones.
No.
There were people being healed all the time. There were people being delivered from terrible situations all the time. Isn't that something? Chapter 4, verse 5, wrote down here. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, this is like the who's who of the adversary's quorum, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Remember, Caiaphas, Jesus Christ stood before Caiaphas, you know, and Annas too, right? And he said, okay, crucify him. You guys, crucify him, crucify him. Well, now here in this record, Peter and John are brought before these same people. And they were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And, you know, they didn't just say, excuse me, by what power or by what name have you done? They were like, what, by what power or what name have you done this? They were upset. This great miracle was shaking the foundations of what they thought and believed. You know, they were not happy when they said that. Then Peter, filled with what?
Holy Spirit,
Holy Ghost. The word ghost is better translated as spirit. Said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, let me just tell you, we have no idea.
No.
We don't want to cause any more trouble today. We would like to just have you forgive us and we'll just slip out. You know, we'll slip out the back. You know, dust ourselves off and verse 10. Be it known unto y'all. See, this is a southern book. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. Had they crucified him? Yes, they had. They gave the order. They gave the order. Whom God responded by raising him from the dead, whom God raised from the dead, even by him thus doth this man stand here before you whole. Well, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Because before you get the gift of Holy Spirit, you are not whole. I'm sorry. You body and soul folks, you're not whole until you are made body, soul, and spirit. So why shouldn't we ask people, did you receive the Spirit when you got born again? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became a Christian? And what does Christian mean? Christ in. You know, you're a Christ in person. That means you've got God in Christ in you, called powerful on high, the gift of Holy Spirit. So if you're calling yourself a Christian and you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you need to receive it. Because otherwise you're saying you're a Christian and Christ isn't in. And so we've got a problem here. You know. But anyway, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Don't you think this made him so happy? Which has become the head of the corner, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Wow. Is that clear enough? You You must be saved. When you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe that God raised him from the dead, you must be saved. You are saved. You are saved. At that point, you receive the Holy Spirit, and that's the word dekelmai. You receive it subjectively. You receive it, you've got it. But it can be dormant in there if you don't put it to use. How do you put the Holy Spirit to use? What did they do on the day of Pentecost? They spoke in tongues. They spoke in tongues. If it was okay for Peter and John and Paul and those other people to speak in tongues, why ain't it okay for us today? It is. It is. All Christians. It's okay for all Christians. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. After the ascension, where did they go? Well, they went back to their location. And they were behind closed doors for fear of the... Oh, that was before the ascension. I guess doesn't say that. Before the ascension, but after the crucifixion, right. Being with Jesus hadn't been enough because they were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, right? They were locked in behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. What changed them from being locked in their room behind closed doors from fear of the Jews to being this bold to speak out and stand against the very ones who had Jesus Christ crucified and boldly declare that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved? What changed? They got born again of God's Spirit, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and then they boldly spoke God's word. Then they were no longer behind closed doors. Look at chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lift up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Oh Lord, please deliver us from these challenges." No. They said, "Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy holy servant David," and the Greek text add, "by Holy Spirit," and Aramaic, "by Holy Spirit, by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." This is what was happening at the crucifixion. "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus," word child could be translated servant here, "for of a truth against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done," as it says in Isaiah, "by his stripes we are healed," and all those other things. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants a vacation." No. Oh, "grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak their opinion." No. Thy word, God's word, speak God's word, "by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, filled Plato with Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. They spoke the word of God with boldness. If they did that, so can we. And we do. I'm sure we do. But can we do more? Maybe. Let's do more. Let's do more. Look at chapter 5, verse 17. The apostles get imprisoned again. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the Sadducees. The Sadducees are the ones that did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were so sad, you see. Oh, well. And were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord, who? The angel of the Lord, by night opened the prison doors. Those angels, I tell you what, they're terrific, aren't they? Those wonderful angels. But the angels of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Go stand and speak. Go stand and speak. Isn't that terrific? Let's go back to Acts 19. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. He came to Ephesus. The book of Ephesians was written to the church, the believers at Ephesus. The greatest revelation ever given to the church. It explains the mystery. It sets forth so much of what we know to be true and so much that we set our life by to live accordingly. He said unto them, Have you received into manifestation the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost, whether there be any Holy Spirit. That's how I was. I went to the Methodist Church. I went every Sunday. Of course, sometimes I slipped out and got a cheeseburger and or grilled cheese and chocolate milkshake, and I timed it so I could be back. You know, I sat in the balcony, you know, and after I helped take the offering, I'd go down to the Nook, downtown mall, and I'd get a chocolate milkshake and a grilled cheese, and then I timed it so I could be back in the balcony, you know, by the time church let out. And my folks, they were always on the front row. They didn't know I did this. And it's too late to tell them now because they've passed away. So they're awaiting the return. But anyway, but I was, you know, I went through catechism. I went through all of those things. I never missed a Sunday. You know, and all the way through high school, I was president of the MYF, for goodness sake. That's the Methodist Youth Fellowship. And because of that, I sat on the official board of the church, and which was very interesting. I'll get into that another time. But, you know, but I never knew about the Holy Spirit. I mean, we sang God in three persons. You know, which is the Trinity, and the Trinity is not true. It was stolen from a pagan belief, you know, of a triune God. But it's, I didn't know if there was a Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto him, John's baptism, which I was baptized, John's baptism. Then said Paul, John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. That is true. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Before they had been baptized with water, but John said, wait, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's someone coming after me who's greater than I am, and he will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with power. Oh. And so when they recognized that, when they heard this to the end of believing it, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were immersed in everything that that name represents. And that means they received the gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. How about that? They spake with tongues and prophesied. They hadn't even heard about the power of the Holy Spirit until Paul came along. You know, they had been under the tutelage of, you know, a golden-tongued orator, Apollos. But Apollos evidently didn't know about the gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Let's keep reading. And all the men were about 12. And somebody said, this is the first children's fellowship, because all the men were about 12. Ruby's 13. But no, it means that there are about a dozen folks that heard this and received that day. And they went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So there were 3 months in the synagogue, then 2 years in the school of one Tyrannus, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Everybody, they were meeting, they were teaching people. People would come in, they'd learn, they'd go out, and they'd teach other people. And those other people that they taught, taught other people, until all of Asia Minor, this is Asia Minor, all Asia Minor heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, in 2 years and 3 months. What a terrific thing that is. That part of the Reformation has not reached our country yet. That part of the Reformation has not made it to the Christian church yet. This part of the Reformation, we can be a very strong, vital part of, because we know. We know. And so perhaps the question to ask our Christian friends is, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Because that's the third verse of the Song of the Reformation. A mighty fortress is our God. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for what you've done for us, what you've accomplished in us and for us. What a privilege it is to be able to be tabernacles carrying your gift of Holy Spirit on the inside and being able to manifest that Spirit. Being able to bring deliverance to God's people by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And we're so thankful, Father, that we have the joy of knowing these things in our day and time, and may we do our part to help others learn these great truths. And we thank you and praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.